And then the second line, the non-bold line, our lives are the Lord's. And we belong not to ourselves, but to God. That's something that is taught in the book of Romans, but it's also something Calvin picked up on and emphasized in our Presbyterian tradition. And then it says our time and all time are the Lord's, and we want to follow you all of our days. Time is a gift. It's something God has entrusted to us. It's a valuable entity that we need to share. And then finally, all we have, possessions, money, investments, is the Lord's. And we want to invest wisely in what you've given for your kingdom purposes. So stewardship of the earth, let's talk about that for just a moment. We have an Earth Care Task Force here in our church, and the purpose of the Earth Care Task Force is to help us be wise stewards of God's creation. So we try to do that here on the property that we own. We try to use things that can be recycled, things that won't stick around in the dump for 1,000 years. We try to go out and make sure that the species that are allowed to live on our campus are natural species that belong in this area. We try to do whatever we can to make a difference in God's world, to help everyone else and encourage everyone else to take care of God's world. And there's a checklist of about 600 things you can do that we get enough to have enough points to be certified every year as an Earth Care congregation, and we're grateful for that privilege and that opportunity. God's called to be generous and responsible towards the earth is the first thing to emphasize. But then there's stewardship of our time, and this is a tough one. You've heard this phrase, time is money. Think of how easy it is to feel bothered or annoyed when we feel someone is taking too much of our time. It depends a little bit on your personality, doesn't it? But some people get incredibly irritated if someone else takes their time. But you know, it's not yours. It belongs to God. Your time belongs to God. All time belongs to God. So if someone else needs it, giving it is an act of Christian stewardship. God calls us to be generous stewards of our time. We can cultivate a willingness to volunteer, a willingness to serve others with our time, a willingness to help out around the church, whether we're asked or not, a willingness to be here for meetings, even if they go a little longer than we planned on. We can make worship a regular weekly commitment. That's stewardship, generous stewardship of our time. But then there's stewardship of our bodies. Have you ever thought about that? Your body is God's gift to you. Taking care of our health, being reasonable about what we eat, exercising in a regular way, all of that can be stewardship of our bodies because we're more able to give to others when we're in good health ourselves. So God calls us to be generous stewards of our bodies. And then there's stewardship of our abilities. Each of us has been given spiritual gifts so that we can serve God in the church and so that we can employ God's calling in our everyday life. And if you think about it, every one of us has some abilities that God has given us that are not only helping us to serve in the church, but also helping us to do our job, pursue our career, earn a living out in the world. Some of us have been given mechanical ability, others knowledge of computers and electronics, others artistic or musical ability or skill with math or finance or business. Some of us have the gift of teaching, others the gift of leadership or caregiving or healing or persuasion. And all of those are ways we can make money and earn a living and serve God out in the world in a way that makes the world a better place, and that would be stewardship of our abilities. But there are also things we can use inside the church to help God's word go out, to help God's purpose be served, to help other people be served by our energy here in the church. God calls us to be generous stewards of our abilities. And then there's stewardship of our possessions, the things that God has gifted us with. That would be our home, our real estate, our automobiles, and all the things that we own. Actually, in this church, we've been talking a little bit. The practicalities have got us a little bit stuck on this, but we've been talking about how we might better share certain large items that it makes no sense for everyone to buy individually here at the church. Things like a pickup truck. A few people have a pickup truck. A lot of people need a pickup truck. There might be ways we could share the resources of our pickup trucks. And people, some of you are doing that. You're going to help people move their furniture with your pickup truck. And that's a way you're being a steward of that possession of yours. How about a rototiller or a trencher? Big things that neighbors could share on their block or that people in the church could share with someone that doesn't have one. And who knows, maybe in the future sometime we'll all figure out a way we can share stewardship of a drone if we need a drone for something. But giving of our possessions can also be just a spontaneous thing. Someone needs a ride and you have a car, so you offer to take them where they need to go, whether it's church or whether it's maybe the doctor. Or you have a computer and somebody in the church doesn't know how to use a computer and they need to fill out a form in order to get through their life, and so you volunteer to help with that computer. Or you have a bike and it's just sitting in your garage, so you give it to a homeless person so they can get to work. And you have been wonderful as a congregation about sharing furniture and dishes and kitchen utensils and baby items with even members of our church and people who come to our church asking for help in setting up a new apartment or in making a home so that people can get back on their feet again. God calls us to be generous stewards of our possessions. And you knew I was going to get around to money, even though it's not stewardship season, right? Stewardship of our financial resources. That's our money, our investments, our insurance policies, whatever financial assets we have. We have a wonderful example to celebrate and give thanks for today in this area of stewardship of financial resources. Our congregational meeting is all about the estate of Eva Stalker, an incredibly blessed and an incredibly generous woman who's about to give assets worth $1.5 million to this church and an equal number of amount of assets to the St. Paul Episcopal Church because her estate was divided in half. And that's what we're going to be talking about in the congregational meeting. I hope you'll stay and hear about that and vote with us. Edith gave to capital campaigns, to organ renovation, these pipes right here. She gave a life insurance policy so that the organ could be renovated, and you all gave too in the capital campaign to that. There's enough money there that the organ can be repaired and kept in good shape for many years into the future. And now she's given us her entire, half of her entire estate. Across the Presbyterian Church, we're beginning to talk about stewardship of our financial resources in three areas. And I want to invite you to hear God's challenge to you to give not just in one or two of these areas, but each of us to give in all three of these areas. And I think many of us do two out of the three, but I think it's important for us all to make plans to do three out of three on these. The first one is regular giving. The second one is special giving. And the third one is legacy giving. And I'm going to talk about these one at a time. Regular giving is what you do in your pledge to the church. That's what you do on a weekly, monthly, annual basis. That's a regular commitment to remind you that everything you have and everything you are is not yours. It belongs to God. That's the purpose of tithing. The biblical standard is working up to giving 10% of your income to God as a reminder, as a symbol of the fact that everything belongs to God and not to you. The second area would be special giving. That's when your passion leads you to care deeply about something beyond your regular giving, and you give a little more so that you can support that. So one great hour sharing offering that we did on Easter would fit into that, or disaster relief when we do that for some place in the world that's been stricken, or the offering that we're going to take this morning. See the little basket? You can come forward at the during the last hymn to give to Cooperative Emergency Outreach, which helps needy and homeless people right here in Washington County. That's special giving. Our recent capital campaign was special giving, over and above your regular pledge. And whatever you give to Peace at Home or Seven Hills or the Cancer Society or any good cause that makes the world a better place is special giving, giving that fulfills your particular interests in making the world a better place. So those two, a lot of us do, most of us perhaps. But then there's legacy giving, and we haven't talked enough about that in this church. But you know, every year that Jan and I have been pastors, we've received somewhere between $30,000 and this year, of course, close to $2 million from people in their wills or in a trust that would be giving beyond the end of a person's life. It's an incredible opportunity to serve the kingdom of God. In May, in the Presbyterian Church, is wills emphasis season, when we're encouraged to remember the church in our wills. It's a way of making a lasting contribution to God's kingdom that will keep on giving beyond our own life. And I hope all of you will start making plans to do that. That's just the third part of our Christian giving: regular giving, special giving, and legacy giving. I believe our generous God is challenging and inviting all of us to consider leaving a legacy gift for God's purposes through the church. We're benefiting right now from gifts of people who were in their financial prime in the 1970s, in the 1980s, in the 1990s, and those gifts are coming in now as they go to be with the Lord, and their gifts come to the church. And we're standing on their shoulders as we use that money to do God's work right now. But 20 and 30 and 40 years from now, it will be your gifts that make that difference for the church in the future. And that's a high priority for us. One way to think about how to do that would be to think about what your pledge is now and to consider leaving a specific gift, a one-time gift to the church in your will that would allow your pledge to continue in perpetuity to the church. Because many of the people who are going to heaven right now from this church have higher incomes in their lives than some of the people who are joining and may always have higher income than some of the folks who are joining. That will help our church to go forward without diminishing in the future. So as an example, if your pledge was $10,000 this last year, it would take a $200,000 legacy gift to ensure that your pledge could continue in perpetuity. But if your pledge was $3,500, it would take a legacy gift of $70,000 in your will to ensure it would continue beyond your guest. You use a 5% figure to find out what the interest would be on the specific gift so that that amount would continue to bless the church after that. And to further all of that, the trustees and the session have agreed to segment our endowment in some new ways that will be forever. We've now got four distinct endowment funds so that you can give to things you believe in your will. These will be permanent funds. The first one is the ministry endowment. That's what most of our endowment right now goes to. About $100,000 a year from our endowment funds the budget every year that helps our salaries to be paid, our building to be taken care of, our mission to be done, all the things that happen around the church. That's the ministry endowment. That one is well endowed, but we've added three more that we want to focus your attention on in case your passions go in a different direction. So there's an education endowment in this church. If one of your passions would be to help another student to go to college like you did so that they could better themselves, we can add to the existing endowment for education, either in undergraduate education or in educating people for ministry, because we have endowments in both those areas right now that the interest only would be spent. And it would help somebody with a scholarship to go to seminary, to study as a pastor, or to go to college to get their first bachelor's degree. We're also we've added a building endowment. That would allow you to give if one of your key concerns is, I want to make sure this property doesn't fall apart and it gets taken care of along the way, because you never know when the roof's going to leak. It leaked a little bit this last weekend. We're working on that right now to try to get that fixed. But an endowment, then the interest will build up, and then we'll have funds to use when we need them for exceptional expenses that are related to the property. And the final one that I know you'll be glad to hear about is a dedicated mission endowment. If you want all of your legacy gift to go off the hill to people who are elsewhere who have special needs, you can specify what kind of needs you'd like to be met. And that would go in the mission endowment, and the proceeds would be used for the mission that you're committed to. Just as some possible examples, it might be to address immigration challenges. It might be to support our work in Honduras. It might be to help hungry children right here in Fayetteville. It might be to help the homeless. It might be to care for those with physical or psychological or mental disabilities. It might be for rehabilitation for people who have been in prison. Whatever your passion is, God calls all of us to be generous stewards of all of our resources. And our God is able to provide you with every blessing in abundance so that by always having enough of everything, you may share abundantly in every good work.